We'll go now to Bill listening in Rockledge, Florida. Hi, Bill.
Morning, Patrick. Per your request, tell everybody, all my friends, about Relevant Radio. I even have a bumper sticker that says at Patrick Madrid on my truck.
Oh, thank you. I love that. Take a picture of that for me. I'd love to post that on Twitter, if you don't mind.
Sure. I'm also happy to report that my wife and I made the trek from Florida to D.C. for the March for Life. And
excellent.
Enjoyed every minute of it.
Excellent. Thank you
that
for doing
fantastic.
That.
I was hoping just to give you a cash value of just a comment and a question.
Okay. You got it.
And the comment is, I'm not sure if you've seen this, but Georgetown, which is a Catholic university, Jesuit, just instituted a policy called microaggression. And it's basically an offense. And so, for example, if somebody like a student pronounces the Catholic teaching on certain subjects, whether it be gender or homosexuality, they can be disciplined for that. So
right.
That's just another example of the truth of the catechism, where it's under attack at a place that's supposed to be propagating it. So I just
And I suppose we could say, well, what about those of us who feel aggression by that policy? Does that macro aggression against us, does it matter? I mean, is it that we're trying to prevent anyone from feeling aggression against them, or just some people for feeling aggression against them? And it's actually just some people. They don't care if you feel that that's aggressive toward you and your beliefs. They don't care. So it's only a certain group of people who are being, quote unquote, protected or mollycoddled, might be a better word for it. That's my thought, Bill.
But this is especially bad. This is especially bad in a Catholic university. Because now our beliefs are coming under attack.
Yep.
And, you know, I just think it's a stepping stone of what they're trying to do. And I mean, at some point, I could see people calling, you know, Catholics, it's basically a hate speech if you speak what we believe. So I'm kind of worried
about
there.
It.
But, you know,
it's getting there.
It's getting
there.
And people like you help that happen. So.
Well, Bill, I don't know if you heard I talk about soliloquies. I was on a tear yesterday or the day before, and I was talking about how so much of the leftist ideology has been inculcated in students in and through academia for decades and decades now. And so what you're describing is certainly nothing new. I'm not trying to, you know, diminish the point of what you're saying, but this is not a recent phenomenon. This is more of the same. But this is where so many young minds become corrupted by the, in some cases, idiotic policies and idiotic positions that are taken by administrators and professors in institutions of higher learning, many of them Catholic, sad to say. And they just churn out graduates who have been brainwashed into thinking the same thing. And so it's a self-perpetuating problem. It's a syndrome that feeds on itself and perpetuates itself. So if I may, this is one reason why Relevant Radio is so important, because it offers an alternative to that flight from reality that exists in so many universities in their little cocoon, the ivory tower, where they just, you know, the echo chamber of them talking to themselves. Well, we have a narrative that breaks that syndrome. And this is why I'm so happy to hear that you're letting people know about Relevant Radio, because it's an antidote to that kind of a problem.
Absolutely. My question for you, because I don't want to take up too much of your time, is about non-Catholic friends of mine ask me a lot about the Eucharist, and I explain to them about the body and the blood, and a lot of times I'll read to them out of John 6:53, where it says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you.
Yes.
And a friend of mine asked me, he said, well, if you're going to take that literally, then why do some Catholics just take the bread instead of the bread and the wine like Jesus commanded?
Mm-hmm.
And the only answer, my best answer is basically that, well, under the authority of the Catholic Church, they've decided that the bread alone is enough for both.
Well, yeah, that is, on the face of it, that's certainly true, but I might say it somewhat differently, Bill. Here's how I would say it. I would say that the host, what we call the bread, and the chalice of the precious blood, each in themselves contains the totality of Jesus Christ, the glorified, resurrected Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's the formula that we Catholics often use. And so the host contains all of Jesus. Now, the symbolism is, for our purposes as human beings, the symbolism is brought into clearer view. In other words, the emphasis on the body and the blood of Jesus becomes more accessible to us as human beings. But it's only an apparent, in other words, it's only apparently more heightened that way. if you received just the precious blood only, and you never received the host, you would receive all of Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity. Likewise, if you received only a host and never from the chalice, you would receive all of Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's how I would explain it. And just let them know that ontologically, the reality of Christ in his totality is present under both species or under both forms. It's purely the symbolism, which is important. I don't mean to diminish it. But the symbolism is heightened, but it doesn't change to any degree whatsoever that the totality of Christ is present under both species.
So they're both the same exact thing, just in different forms.
Yeah, and maybe the only tweakage that I would offer you would be, rather than say, well, the church decided that, because then it sounds like this is a committee decision, and it's basically just the flip of a coin. You know, what do you think? Well, I don't know. What do you think? And then they just threw a dart and they decided on something. I wouldn't phrase it like that, because then it sounds very arbitrary and, you know, just human in origin, but rather just emphasize the reality of the Eucharist. And then from there, then I think it puts you on stronger rhetorical ground, I think, if you phrase it that way.
Okay. Sounds good. All right.
Well,
all right. Thanks for that perspective. I appreciate it. Thanks for all you do.
You got it, Bill. A book I think you'd like, it's called The Hidden Manna by Father James O'Connor, published by Ignatius Press. And he gets into all the whys and wherefores about not only scripturally, but what the church fathers taught and how it is that we know that Christ is present fully under either species. And I think you'd find that book useful. And Kalen will get a link to that for you on the show Twitter feed, which is at P Madrid Show. So check it out. Thanks for the call. And by the way, thanks for keeping that bumper sticker on your truck. I appreciate that.